In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Epiphany, the manifestation, the appearance, or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Christmas celebrates God is man. Epiphany flips it to celebrate this man is God. While Jesus remains the center of the story, he's not the only one who is revealed today. The Father and the Spirit are also revealed, though they do not overshadow the incarnate one. The reason is this. When you know Jesus, then you also know the Father and the Spirit. As Jesus himself said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And so Jesus reveals this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be the Savior of all nations. These Gentiles don't appear out of a vacuum. The star alerted them to the Word of God. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Creation is to pull our minds back to the Word of God. To view creation apart from the Word always leads us into idolatry. Only the Word reveals the true God. So emboldened by that Word, these Gentiles begin a long journey to find their divine King. But they ended up in the wrong place. The Word of God must once more set their feet on the right path. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Micah records that promise, but he did not speak it. God the Father spoke that promise. He promised a king from David's town, from the very line of David, who will surpass David in power and wisdom and might. With gentleness and love, he will lead the people of God to the green pastures of their eternal promised land. He will strike both the lion and the bear. He will defeat all of their enemies, both the devil and this fallen world. For he will do what David could not do, and he will accomplish what David failed to do. And the kingdom of this Christ will have no end. A wonderful promise that God has made to all Gentiles. That prophetic promise gets the feet of these Gentiles moving. How would they have known where the Christ was to be born if the Father did not reveal it in his word? And if they doubted the Father's word, they never would have left their home in the first place. And so Herod and all Jerusalem stay at home, disturbed and shaken, stuck in the darkness of unbelief, but the word makes the Gentiles worthy. The Word gives the Gentiles joy. The Word reveals Christ to the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus does not want to be known apart from his Word. So do not look for God in the imagination of your minds as you contemplate creation or try to figure out why your life is the way it is. The God that your mind creates will not be a Savior God, but a God with apathetic love. That is, a God who lets you live however you want, so long as you say that he is loving and he exists. But the true God does not reveal himself except in his Son. And the Son is revealed by his Word. This is how the Gentiles know that God is born. This is how or where the chief priests know that God is born. Everything hinges on the Word of God. The Father gives his Word, and the nations come running to worship their King. This Word is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. Working through that Word is the Holy Spirit who creates and sustains and strengthens faith. He pulls them out of the darkness and into the light of Christ. He compels them to leave their troubled Jerusalem and to head to Bethlehem with joy. He quenches their fears, calms their doubts, moves their mouth and their body to confess that Christ is worth the long, difficult journey. the Gentiles have come to Christ, believing his word. He does the same for us. The Father speaks the word to us, and the Spirit creates faith in our hearts as well. This child is born for us. Gentiles will come to his light. And here we sit. Gentiles, foreigners, aliens, strangers, but the Spirit has opened our hearts and moved our feet. All speculation and pondering and staring up at heaven is thrown out the window. The word of the Father occupies our minds and directs our thoughts and leads us away from the glitz and glamour of the world to a small house where we find the Christ. This was not revealed to you by men, but by God the Father who spoke, and by the Spirit who led. It's grace. It's undeserved love. God owes us nothing. He did not give us his word because we were worthy, because we were good, or because we tried our best. No, and in spite of all that we are and that we've done, God has given us everything. He persisted. He gave faith. Many obstacles could have distracted us from Christ. We look at the world and wonder if God really exists. We see starvation and poverty and can begin to doubt his love. Sleep or success or prosperity or health could be our top priority. The evidence that God is not loving is monumental. The evidence that he is not with us to protect us is just as great. But the Father continues to speak his word, and the Spirit continues to work through that word to direct us back to where Christ is. Only at Christ do we know God rightly. Only when we see the love of Christ will we know the love of God. What led the Magi? A star. So the star is the Holy Spirit who leads all men to Christ. Did not the star get the Gentiles moving in the first place? Did it not guide them to their righteousness, their hope, and their king? Did it not stop over the place where God was? And so the Holy Spirit leads both Jews and Gentiles to Christ. He stops over Christ because there is nothing else beyond him. In Christ, all questions are answered. In Christ, all fears are calmed. In Christ, God's grace overflows. Jesus is our goal, our destination, our place of rest. Remove Jesus, and there is no God. But the Father sends his Son. And when you know the Son, then you know the love of your Father and the grace of the Holy Spirit. But it all centers on Jesus, the Word made flesh, the light incarnate. So God leads us to Jesus, and we worship the Father through Jesus. He is the ladder by which God comes to us, and we go to God. Confident of his promise and led by his Spirit, we have come to Jesus. The Magi could only give gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but when we enter his presence, he cleanses us from all of our sins. In a holy bath. He feeds us his divine body in a holy meal. The Father's word instructs us, and the Spirit leads us. Thus, Epiphany is reenacted every time we gather. All deterrents are set aside as the Spirit-filled word of God fills our minds. Here we worship him. Here the triune God reveals himself as our Savior. The Father sends his Son. The Son died in our place to redeem us. And the Spirit brings him to us in word and sacrament. Therefore, Epiphany is the story of how the Father, by the Spirit, leads us Gentiles to Jesus in the Holy Supper, so that in his house we may worship, kneel, adore, and receive him, Christ the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.